Pastor Lauer from our Seder Lutheran Church in Mankato, which brings you this brief broadcast each Sunday morning at this same time. Our Seder's is located at 1103 North Broad Street in Mankato. That's just across the street from Franklin Elementary. During these times of pandemic, our regular services are indoors at 8 and 10:30 a.m. We also have a parking lot service at 9:15. Please join us for Christian worship, education, fellowship, and service. Because of our baptism, which is our adoption into the family of God, we now live in two worlds. Over the years, we get pretty good at knowing how this world works. We come to realize that in this world, you're supposed to get what you deserve. In this world, if you put in a full week's work, you should get a full week's pay. If you commit yourself to someone else, they should also be committed to you. This world doesn't always work this way, but we know that it should. But this is not how it works in God's world, nor should it be. If it did, then everyone should get what they deserve, which means that we'd all be lost forever because we all have sinned. We've rebelled against God. We revealed our inner guilt for the attitudes and desires of our hearts. So how does God's kingdom work? Well, that's what Jesus has been trying to teach us over the past 2 weeks and again today with the three parables of our gospel text, and with the explanation at the end of that text. As usual, Jesus begins each parable by saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like," and then going on to use something from everyday life to teach us. The first of these for today is called the parable of the hidden treasure. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Now, ask yourself, who does this? If you found a treasure buried in the field, would you cover it up again? Which would mean that someone else could find it. And then sell everything that you have to buy that field and get the treasurer that way? I really doubt that anyone would do that. I dare say that most people on earth would simply grab that treasure, or as much of it as they could, and then run or sneak away so you could come back and get more later. Okay, maybe you wouldn't. But is that the way that the world works? Who cares about the field that the treasure's in? Who cares about who owns the treasure or whether it can be legitimately yours? In this world, people take what they can get, don't they? And they get as much as possible for as little as they can. But that is not the way that God works. God does not measure you to determine how much you are worth or how much it will cost him to have you back with him in paradise, as though he's going to pay as little as possible to save you. Instead, God our Heavenly Father immediately gives everything that he has in order to have you with him in heaven, legitimately. Jesus has left his place of authority and glory in the presence of God the Father in order to become one of us, And then he gives up even that, his earthly life, to have you with him in the kingdom of heaven. The same lesson is found in the parable of the pearl of great value. Some people have gotten this message turned around, as in the book by the name The Pearl of Great Price by Joseph Smith, who founded the Mormons. God is not the pearl. You are not being asked to give up everything for God. That's not what this parable is about. This is not how you and I are to be in this life. Jesus says that this is how the kingdom of heaven is. And in the kingdom of heaven, it is God, as I said earlier. He is the one giving up everything for you and for every one of us. As a parent will give their life and everything they have to save their child, so God's love and God's activity to save you is not measured. It's not even measurable. He does not pause to think about saving you. He doesn't wonder if you're worth it. You are beyond any human measure. And it would be silly or even disastrous for any of us to act as God does in this way. Suppose you did sell everything you had in order to buy the one valuable pearl. Where would you live? What would you eat? You'd end up having to sell that pearl anyway, just to get any value out of it, and for it to do you any good. It reminds me of the woman who spent all day sweeping her house to find a few lost coins, and when she found it, she ended up spending more than she had found, throwing a party for everyone to celebrate with her. Nobody does that. It wouldn't make sense. But for God, who doesn't need a house or food or clothes, for God, who gives His greatest treasure, His own dear beloved Son, to be our Savior. And besides, Jesus can lay down His life for us and take it back again in His resurrection, except now He has purchased our resurrection as well. The only way these parables make any sense is if it is God who is giving His all for us. Putting it on us to give our all for Him leaves us without shelter, naked, and starving. But if it is God who does it, through Jesus Christ, His own dear Son, then that makes perfect sense and gives us a reason to hope and believe in Him. No wonder people have a hard time believing in a God who asks everything of you, leaving you with nothing, and still you don't have enough to come to heaven. But if we understand that it is God who gives His all, then it is good news. The third little parable in this section is about the net which was thrown into the sea. It caught all kinds of fish. But when the men brought it in, they kept the good fish, but threw out the bad fish. This also makes no sense in a human earthly way of thinking, because even the bad fish are worth something. You could mix a little bit of the bad in with the good to make your total sale bigger. You could sell the good fish at a higher price and still get something for the bad fish from those that can't afford the good stuff. If nothing else, you could chop it up and use it for bait. We see that all the time when a butcher takes the trimmings from the choice cuts to make hamburger or sausage or hot dogs. People know what goes into cheap hot dogs, but we keep on buying them anyway. God could do that, but He doesn't. So God isn't worried about getting every little penny that He can out of us. And neither is God interested in having slaves or anyone who doesn't want to be with Him. He's not trying to bring in the greatest haul. He's not trying to make the greatest profit. He could reel in all humanity if that's what He wanted. But His love is not about how much or how many. Because the trouble is, if that were true, then we would have to wonder, were we enough? Did we do enough? Are we worth enough? He does not have the needs that we have, and he is not subject to the rules of living in this world as we are. In short, we in this world measure things on a scale from best to worst, and what happens is determined by which score is given. But that's not how it's done in God's kingdom. There are those that are His, and there are those that are not. And this is not determined by whether or not you make the cut with a high enough score. Not at all. If you are His, then He's keeping you. If you're not, then feel free to go your own way. I think we see this most clearly when we compare our own children to others. We all know that our children aren't perfect, but we do know that they are ours, and we will always treat them differently because they're ours. You don't rate your children on a scale of 1 to 10 in hopes that they'll get a high enough score to deserve your love. No, it's really quite simple, isn't it? If they're yours, then you love them and you always will. If they're not yours, well, then that's a different thing altogether. So it is with God. There is no room in God's kingdom for asking who's the best and who barely squeaked in. We all have sinned, we all have fallen short of the glory of God, but God has loved and redeemed us all. Some people don't want it. Some people don't accept it. But again, with God, the only question is whether you love and trust in Him, or someone else, or nothing at all. That's how it works in the kingdom of God. No imposters, no fakers, no sugar-coated unbelievers allowed. But without any regard for where you've been or what you've done, if you are one of His, that's the question, then He loves and saves you no matter what. So the games that we play in this world and the tricks that we try in this life to get ahead of others aren't part of the equation in God's way. There are those who trust in His Son to save them, and then there are those who don't. It's really quite simple. So after three short stories to explain this, the parable of the hidden treasure, the parable of the pearl of great worth, and the parable of the net, Jesus gives the crowds the application or the reason why they need to know this. He said, "Every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out his treasure, what is new and what is old." To say that in today's language, we might say that every preacher who knows about the ways of God should be using every tool he has, old and new, to be teaching what true treasures really are. So look at the Bible, and you will see that this is the way God has always dealt with His people. For example, I can point out to you that when Adam and Eve sinned against God, God didn't wait for them to come crawling back to Him, no. God went and found them. He called out to them. Even when they were still making excuses by blaming each other, God loved them and gave them the promise of the one who would eventually destroy sin, evil, and the power of death. Abraham was just as weak and prone to failure in his faith and actions as any of us. But Abraham held on to God's promise in spite of himself. There wasn't anything special about Joseph or David or really any other of the biblical characters except that they believed what God had told them. The Bible stories about these people are the old treasures, which good preachers and teachers should bring out. But there are also new treasures, that is, examples of real people that we know from our own times who have held on to God's promise, believing in His Son, regardless of where they've been or what they've done or what's going on in their lives. So the good preacher and teacher is the one who can use the old stories as well as new examples to make this same point which Jesus has made. And here again is the point. Friends, God is not waiting to see if you measure up or if you're good enough for Him. God is not keeping score on you or setting you up to pass or fail any test. It doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done. He already loves you with all that He is, and He has given His all to give you, as a gift, forgiveness and the way to everlasting life. There's no need to hide your sin and guilt from Him. He already knows all about those. But confess your sins and admit your need for a Savior, and He will show you Jesus, His Son, who gave Himself without limit to save you from death and win you back for eternal life. Now, in the world that we live in now, nobody does that. But Jesus is telling you. The prophets and the apostles have told you, and now I'm telling you that God does not do things the way the world does. Yeah, and that's a really good thing, because if He did, we'd all be lost. But thank God for giving us the victory as His gift over sin, death, and the grave through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.